Thank you. So I'd like to thank the organizers for a great conference and for inviting me to speak. Definitely learned a lot about affine shear functions and things like that. So what I'm going to tell you is a story about non-commutative shear functions. And this is done in different types. I'll start with type A, where I'll tell you the whole story. And then I'll go to type B, where I'll tell you like a kind of unfinished story here and there with some gaps to fill, but mostly done. And then, so I'm going to be very precise here, a little precise here, and very hand-wavy on the A affine, where there's sort of a story getting started, and I would like to see how it gets done. So I'm going to suggest some questions and things like that. So I'll start with the type A. So I'll start with some notation just to get used to it. We have, I'm going to draw a tableau. This is the first time I use French notation. That's exciting. Okay, so I'm going to semi-standard tableau. I'm going to call it tableau. This is a shape 4-3-1. And the monomial of this tableau is, I'm going to call it x to the p, which is x1 to the number of 1s, which is 3 right there, x2 to the number of 1s, which is to the number of 2s, which is 3, x3 to the 1, because there's 1, 3. Maybe let me just make a 4 here. And x4. Okay, that's the monomial. The shear function. It's lambda of x, and if I ever drop the x, I meant x, is a summation over all tableau of shape t equals lambda of x to the t. These functions are basis for the ring of symmetric functions. You don't know this. And there's two rules that I want to emphasize, and one is the Littlewood Richardson rule. And it's the following. S nu is equal to summation of some coefficients times S lambda. These are positive and they have combinatorial interpretations. And S lambda slash nu is also equal to summation of the same coefficients. And this gives the homology and cohomology of the Grassmannian. And there's also the Cauchy formula. And it goes like this. Summation over all nu of S nu of X, S nu of Y is equal to a product over all I and over all J of 1 plus XIYJ. I think I meant transpose here. Okay, so this, for two variables, if I take this sum, it expands into this product, and this I call the Cauchy kernel. Okay, so this is sort of the classic stuff. I'll leave it here just so everyone can see it. All right, so now, Fomin and Green. Have defined the non-commutative shear functions, which are the following. You take non-commutative variables. U1 up to UN. So am I writing big enough for the back? Right bigger. Okay. So you take now I'm not going to take commutative variables x1 up to whatever. I'm going to take non variables that don't commute. And I don't need to stop at n. I can keep going, but just for sake of simplicity, I'll stop at n. And we're going to define shear functions that are non-commutative. So the hardest part to define, or the most important, is the monomial, because now the variables don't commute. So the way we're going to define it is we're going to take this tableau and we're going to read off the entries column by column, from the top to the bottom. So here it's going to be U4, U2, U1. I'm going to write a bar, but there's not really a bar there. U2, U1, U3, U1, and then U2. Okay? And then we're going to define the non-commutative shear function as S lambda of U equals summation of U to a T, say T equals none. Okay? So they don't seem like having a structure right now, but I'm going to give you this historically. There's a theorem of Lascaux and Schutzenberger. If the UI satisfy, maybe I can throw in Knuth here. The Knuth or Plectic relations which are UI UK UJ equals UI UJ UK for I less than equal, whoa. K U I U J. I less than equal to J less than K and U J U I U K equals to U J U K U I for I less than J less than equal to K. Okay, if this happens, then the S lambda of U commute with each other. So the variables don't commute, but the whole share functions commute. And I could easily write like this. And they also satisfy the little Richardson rule. So right, so commute. And little Richardson. Obviously only little Richardson implies commute, right? Because these are sort of symmetric. And there's a stronger theorem by Fomin and Green. It's not going to look stronger because I'm going to give you a weaker version. But it says if the UI satisfy UI UJ is equal to UJ UI for I being far apart. So the far apart i's commute, and the i's that are close together satisfy this funny relation. Okay, if we satisfy these two relations, then one, the S lambda W commute pairwise. So I get they satisfy Littlewood Richardson. And I guess this my answer can stuck a little bit because these are create a copy of the ring symmetric functions, right? And they satisfy something else which is the Cauchy formula, which is the following in non-commutative setting. So it's almost the same, except I have to specify the product, the order of the product. And the axis, the U satisfy these relations, the axis commute with each other and commute with all the U's. And so this is the way I have to take the product for the Cauchy formula. Okay? So any questions so far? All right. And this theorem is certainly not stronger than this one, but the real formulation of Fomin and Green is with some relations that sort of encompass these ones and these ones. Like they're weak enough to be satisfied by those two. But I think that for the applications that we're going to do, there's no need to use anything but this. And we're going to call this the Fomin Green relations. Just say FG relations. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to apply that theorem to finding expansions, shared expansions of certain functions. So application number one. And it's going to be finding the little Richardson rule. Yes. The excess commute with each other, and the excess commute with all the U's, and the U's satisfy this funny relation, or these funny relations. All right, so this is how I'm going to find the little Richardson rule using that Cauchy kernel. What the main idea that I'm going to use in this talk repeatedly is we're going to let the U's be maps that construct objects. And so I construct objects with the U's, and this is going to give me somehow the generating function, the generating series for this object. And then if the maps satisfy these relations, then this is true. And then with this, we're going to find the sure expansion of that generating series. I'm going to do that like a few times. So I'm going to do it for a little Richardson rule. So what are the U's would be? So let's consider the Fock space of Ferrier's shapes. Okay? And let lambda be a shape. I'm going to let U act on this space. So it's going to be U, I of lambda, and these are nicely defined by Jason last talk, kind in the affine case. So UI of lambda, basically lambda union a box on the ith column, if you can, and zero other way. Okay? So here's a little example. U2 of this shape, I'm adding this box, right? So it would be that. I just added this box. And U3 of this shape is 0, because I can't add this box. It won't be a Ferrier shape. Okay? So let's see what, let's see how we build a tableau out of there. So is this a good line to stop writing? Okay. Okay, so what is xi uj of some shape? Well, the uj adds a box in the jth column, if it can, and you're keeping track of an xi. I might as well fill it with an I, because the I keeps track of xi, right? What if I do 1 plus xi uj? Well, that's the same as doing don't add a box or add a box labeled I. Yeah? Now, I'm trying to build this Cauchy product. So I take the next product. I go product j equals n to 1, 1 plus xi uj. So I'm going to call the shape lambda, just to make it more formal. And if I'm really, if I'm adding a bunch of these, I'm really just adding a horizontal strip, because I'm doing it in the right order. So I'm just adding lambda union horizontal strip of I, and I'm keeping track of xi to the size of the horizontal strip. This is very vague, but I hope you're getting the idea. And so if I take the next product over all I, of product over this funny order j, 1 plus xi uj, and apply it to a shape lambda, then I'm just adding a bunch of horizontal strips. And what's a tableau if not a union of a bunch of horizontal strips? So this is, maybe let me just act on mu, just to make this. So what do I have? I have a summation of all lambda, of all the possible shapes lambda I can get, and I'm filling lambda slash mu with horizontal strips. So this xi just end up keeping track of s lambda slash mu of x. And now I'm going to define the following inner product, lambda slash mu, lambda mu is equal to Kronecker delta, to pick a coefficient. And I'm going to pick the coefficient of lambda at both sides, So we're going to get this. So coefficient of the shape lambda here. Coefficient of the shape lambda here is going to be S lambda slash mu of x. So now we got this, which is this part of the theorem. We would like to get this. So for this, we need to make sure that the UI satisfy that. But you can easily check the remark. The UI satisfy Fomin-Green relations. Okay, so then this would be the same as this. And this inner product, these x's are scalars, so I might as well get them out. And so I have this. Now, does that look familiar? Well, Little Richardson rule says this is a summation of C lambda mu nu of S mu of x. So then this and this are the same. Okay, and this is just a combinatorial number. This is the number of tableau, a shape nu prime, such that when I apply the monomial to mu, I get lambda. So as a corollary, we get a combinatorial expansion or expression of C lambda mu nu. Okay, so this procedure, I'm only going to do it once, but this is really what we're going to be doing a few times. So for application number two, we're going to do sure expansion of Stanley symmetric functions. For that, we're going to consider a symmetric group, Sn, generated by S1 up to Sn minus 1, where I is the transposition ii plus 1. And the relations, you all know them, they're si squared equals 1, si is j, is j is I, Riemann is j, bigger than or equal to 2, and braid. And now our operators ui are going to act on the symmetric group the follows. Ui of w, okay, it's going to be equal to 0 otherwise. Go for the easy stuff first. And siw if it increases the length. Okay? So it kills it if it doesn't make it a reduced expression or makes it multiply by si. And then you can check that the relations that these satisfy are ui squared equals 0, because if I multiply by generator, again, I'm decreasing the length, and these two generators. So I'm going to call this far commutativity, and I'm going to call this braid. So they satisfy far commute and braid. And if you check, anything that satisfies this satisfies the Fomin-Green relations. Okay, so we have the following. We have this, basically this same thing. But we're going to have it as follows. Summation of I'm going to apply it on the identity permutation, and I'm going to take the coefficient of any word w, and that's going to be equal to this product. Apply to identity permutation, take the coefficient of W. And this is pretty much the definition of a Stanley symmetric function that Thomas gave in his talk. Because you can see how the UIs are decreasing, so you're splitting your word into decreasing subsequences. And for each decreasing subsequence, you record it with an xi, and then the next decreasing subsequence, you record it with xi plus 1, and so on. And if you get w, you keep it. If you don't get w, you kill it. And so there we get an expansion, a sure expansion of the Stanley symmetric functions. And if you read this, this just means this is the number of tableau of this shape whose reduced word is w. So whose reading word is a reduced word for w. So corollary, sure expansion for fw. Okay. So let me do one more application in this setting. So the third application here, application 3, is going to be stable Grothendieck polynomial. Exactly. Yeah. Let me write it down because it's not clear. But so what is this, right? This is a sum over tableau, right? So corollary. So the S nu coefficient in S W is equal to. This is a sum of tableau of shape nu prime. So number of tableau T of shape nu transpose. Okay, such that when I take the reading word, and the reading word is defined here. Oh, I erased it. Anyway, I erased the reading word, but it's like reading off the columns and going from right to left. So why don't I call it word of the tableau? It's a reduced word for W. This is this quotient. Because if I get W, I keep it. If I don't get W, I send it to zero. This is an existing expression. Yeah. And the one for the shapes is new, but it's really close. It can be a bijection to one of the ones that exist. So, yeah. And this application is very similar, stable Grothendieck polynomials. It's basically the same thing as this. You're acting on the symmetric group. Except the action is now different. Now ui of w is xi times w, if it makes it longer, or w, if otherwise. So these generators now satisfy what's called the, I guess, degenerate Hecker relations. Ui squared is equal to ui. And there's braid, and then there's far commutativity. Okay? And you can check that if you satisfy these relations, you also satisfy the Fleming Green relations. So this implies Fleming Green. And I copy that board here, and we get corollary. A sure expansion of basically the same sure expansion for here. But for the stable Grothendieck polynomial, which I'm going to write GW. I don't know how it's. And it's just going to be basically a number of tableau such that the reading word, but now taken in these generators, gives you W. Okay? So any questions so far? That's really a type A picture. So I'm gonna do now the Type B picture, or what's been done in the Type B picture. So we have a similar scenario as before. We have some tableau. Now it's going to call shifted tableau. And they're going to look as follows. Now you don't have a shape, but you have a shifted shape. This is how shifted shapes look. They look funny. But basically, you're lying under this diagonal, and this part makes some sort of a convex pear shape like before. And now it corresponds to strict partitions, right? Because I can't have two equal parts. This corresponds to partition 7, 5, 2, 1. This is P. Shape P is 7, 5, 2, 1. And I fill it with numbers from the following alphabet. 1 prime, less than 1, less than 2 prime, and so on. In a way that's weakly increasing along the rows and up the columns. And I have some other rules. So I'm going to make a filling and I'll tell you what the rules are. Okay, that's how it looks. So there's prime, there's some primes. And basically the primes behave like they used to behave, which is this, the unprimes. This is allowed, and this is not allowed. Okay? And the unprimes behave the opposite. The primes behave the opposite. This is not allowed, and this is allowed. So as you can see, I have a 4 prime, 4 prime, and the have equality of the columns, that's fine. I have equality of the rows if they're not primed, but I'm not going to have like a 4 prime, 4 prime. So if you like to think of semi-standard tableau as unions of horizontal strips, you can think of these as unions of border strips, because really the fours just form border strip, and so do the twos, and so on. Okay. And we have the monomial for this tableau, which is x to the t equals, I just forget about the primes. So it's 1 to the number 1s, which is 3, x2 to the number of 2s, which is 4, x3 to the 2, x4 to the 5, x5. And now I'm going to define just like the same as sure functions, but they're going to call sure p and q functions. And they're the following. P lambda of x is equal to summation over all tableau, shift the tableau of shape lambda of x to the t, and I'm not done yet with that. They look the same, but they're not the same, because here there's an extra condition. No primes on the main diagonal. So as you see, this is the main diagonal, and there's no primes. I could add primes or not, and this rule is going to still be satisfied. So that the conclusion that is that q lambda of x is equal to 2 to the number of parts p lambda of x. Okay? Because I can pick any of the diagonal and prime it or unprime it and still satisfy the rules. And these are dual bases of the following ring. P lambda and Q lambda are symmetric functions. They belong to the subring gamma of the symmetric functions. And if you like to think of a power function, the symmetric functions are generated by all the power sums, and this ring is generated by all the odd power sums, P1, P3, and so on. So there's also Little Richardson rules for this. There's the what is called the shifted Littlewood-Richardson rule, Lewis-Tembridge. And And it says the following. It says p mu is equal to summation over a lambda of some coefficients, that these are given by Cambridge, times p lambda. Okay. And the other one is q lambda slash mu is equal to summation of p lambda mu nu of q mu. So this should hint that these bases are dual, right? And then there's also a Cauchy formula. No, there. Okay. What if I can keep it all in one here. So Cauchy formula, and it's very similar. It says that the summation over a lambda of, sorry, over mu of q nu of x, p nu of another set of variables y can be factored as a product of all I, product of all j of 1 plus xi uj divided by 1 minus xi uj, where this is taken as a power. Okay, so now our goal is to basically do mimic Fomin Green in non-commutative variables. Yeah, whoa. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So here's a question. Maybe you can help me. Fomin Green for shifted shapes. And the answer is, I don't know. So, big question mark. Maybe you can try. But there are some partial results that will get us some of these applications. And that's this theorem. So it says, wait for this. Sorry. We have to define the non-commutative analogs of this, right? And the hardest part is to define a monomial, because it's hard to think of a monomial with these primes and things like that. It won't be some kind of reading word. So we have to study the monomial of the other ones. So recall. So the question is, what's u to the t? So recall that for this tableau, u to the t, and I'm going to forget about the u, and I'm going to call it 4, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2. So this can be taken as a reading word, or also as a backward insertion word, right? If you let, with Robinson-Shenstone insertion, if you insert u to the t, you get t, right? And what if I record it? Well, the recording tableau for this kind of reading word is a very special tableau. It's this one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So some people call it the superstandard tableau. It's kind of like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, like that. You could really pick anyone you want. But the way we're going to define u to a t is using something called shifted mixed insertion. Which is done by Heyman, which is one of the two analogs of insertion for the shifted tableau. And we're just going to say, well, if T is a shifted tableau, then U to T is the word that such that P under mixed insertion of U to T is T, and Q is your favorite. Your favorite shifted tableau. I don't know if you have a favorite shifted tableau. I do have one that I use for other things, but our applications. But basically, as long as you pick the same one always, you're good. So now we've defined the non-commutative shear functions. So non-shear P functions as the sum over u to the t for all shifted tableau of shifted shade lambda. Okay? And what we need now is a theorem that makes this commute, or some relations that make this commute. So as I said when I was getting ahead, that there's no Fomin green for shifted shapes. There is the theorem that I stated before Fomin green was Lascuches-Tambergé. So that's the one that we could find the analog of. So here it goes. If the UI satisfy the shifted plactic relations, which I'll introduce in 1 second, or the type B nilpotent relations, then one, the t lambda of u commute. Two, they satisfy shifted Little Richardson. And three, they satisfy a Cauchy equation similar to this one, but it goes like this. So this quotient is really ordered as the decreasing ones and then the increasing ones. Okay? And I guess I want to say something else, which is just in particular, if I define this this monomial like this, the shear function for a row is going to be precisely the sum of u I1 up to u I k, where this length is k, where k is the unimodal word that Jason defined, or the hook word, which means u I1 is bigger than something all the way to u, so it decreases and then starts increasing. Okay? Which is something that comes up in this product. Oh, and I, and these relations and these relations are precisely this. They're a little lengthy. But this is basically the plactic analog, the plactic relations on shifted, and the analog of the Neil-Coxeter relations. So let's see if we can do the same three applications that we did before. Let's go to application one again. I'm going to act now on this space. I don't know if this has a name, but shifted Fock space sounds nice. This the space of shifted shapes. And UI of a shape is going to add a box on the ith diagonal. And by diagonal, I mean if this is your shape, and this is the first diagonal, this is the second diagonal, and so on. So if you can, or is it going to be zero if you can't? So I'm not going to go in the same detail as before, but I will tell you that the product from j equals n to 1 of 1 plus xi uj times the product of j equals 1 to n of 1 minus xi uj inverse. If you apply this to a shape, lambda, okay, or I can just say it adds a rim hook. Lambda. So a union of border strips, because this will be adding the I primes and this will be adding the I's. So basically, it would be like something like that. Okay? And because a shifted tableau is a union of rim hooks, then we have this Cauchy product, and because the UI satisfy, and you can check this, either the shifted plactic, and they also satisfy the type Beenel Coxeter, then just doing the same procedure as before, we have as a corollary the SureQ expansion. Of the skew sure function. Just the same thing as before, but now we just add shifted to every other word. Okay? Any questions about this? Okay. Now let's see what happens with application. Type B Stanley symmetric functions. Okay, so again, we're going to have now the hyperoctahedral group, which is generated by this, and the following other relations. Fi squared equals 1, par commutativity. Braid relation, for the big ones, and this funny braid relation at the beginning. And you can think of it as a group of sine permutations, where Si now permutes I minus 1 and I, and S1 just negates the first number. So picture permutations with signs attached to them. And so this one flips two entries, and this one makes the first one into a negative. So you can basically negate everything you want. You want to get this number, just bring it here, negate it, and bring it back. Okay? And we're going to act on here by defining UI. So if W belongs to here, to the hyperoctahedral group, UI of W is going to be basically... Question? Pardon? Yes. One is a short route, or long route, depending on what. So this is going to be SIW if it makes it longer. And 0 otherwise. And we can check that the UI satisfy the type B Neil-Coxeter relations. So B Neil-Coxeter relations. So we can apply the theorem. And we get the following. Product over all I. Product from j equals n to 1 this. I apply it to the identity permutation. I take the coefficient of some word W. And this is precisely the definition of a type B Stanley symmetric function. So I'm just going to call this abuse notation and call it this. Okay? So we have the sure expansion of the Stanley symmetric function. And again, the coefficient is going to be the following. So coefficient of Q nu NSW is equal to the number of shifted tableau P of shape nu, such that the mixed reading word of U to the T is a reduced word for W. Okay? And now I'm going to show you non-application 3, which is with this stable type B, stable Grothendieck polynomials. And the reason it's non-application is because if you consider these maps just like before, but satisfying the type B degenerate Hecker relations, which is this, YW equals SIW, or W, if you don't make it longer, these satisfy UI squared equals UI, right? Because if you multiply by SI, and you multiply by SI again, you're not making it longer, so it's the same as just multiplying once. And then the same as those over there. So above. And these don't necessarily, these don't satisfy either the shifted plactic or the Nilcoxeter relations. So we can't use this theorem. So it'll be interesting if you can come up with some relations that take care of non-application 3B. Yes. As a matter of fact, I don't, you know what, it doesn't imply that they don't commute, but I think they don't commute. So it might even be harder than that. I mean, so this just says, I can't prove that these functions commute. But just to go a little farther, I think they don't commute. So when I said try, I meant don't try. Yeah, I don't know. There might be some other way to define. Maybe the Q's instead of the P's, I don't know. But yeah, I don't need commutation. I need correlation. A good point. Yeah, interesting looking. Okay, so now in the last 10 minutes, I'm just gonna wave my hands frantically and just tell you basically how I would look at this in affine case. So just things I'm just learning, so bear with me. And if something looks wrong, it probably is. Or if I see a question and you know the answer, just feel free. Because, yeah. So in type A affine, what do we have? We have a semi-standard strong tableau. And I'm going to draw out one straight out of a paper of a few of you here. So the rules have been explained in Jennifer's talk. The monomial of this tableau, x to the t, is equal to x1, x2, x3 squared. And then we have the K-Schur functions, s, k, oh yeah, and here k equals 3. K equals 2. And n equals 3. So this is a 3-core. X is equal to the summation of x to the t for all of the this tableau of shape lambda. These belong to the subalgebra. Did I put the n in the right place? Which is the span of the h's all the way up to k. And then there's also the affine shape function, which is a dual. And the f lambda, I'm overusing the letter f here, but defined by weak tableau. And these are dual bases, just like the p's and the q's are, or just like the s's and the s's were in type A. So what do we have? What's that? Oh, that was my own voice. Yeah, should I number them in the bottom? Is that what you say? There's one ribbon, right? Thank you. This one too? Yeah. Something like that, sorry. No, this one's not. First, this one. So there's one ribbon, right? This four. There is another ribbon. And there's another ribbon. Ooh, that's, yeah, thank you. All right, so unfortunately there's no Liller-Richardson rule, but if there was, it would look like this. Or like this. And there is a Cauchy formula, but I'm not going to show you the Cauchy kernel, because it's complicated. But this is Liller-Richardson. Oops. Summation of over all lambda, of lambda of x, sk, lambda of y, is equal to some affine Cauchy kernel. That is hard to factor like the other ones, but it exists. Okay. So my first question that I wonder, that is probably difficult. This question is not probably difficult, but I think I'm wondering. If you were to define this non-commutatively, so question, what is the non-commutative monomial? That'll be hard. If I were to look at it, I might look at there's an insertion algorithm for this. I would just think of a backward insertion world, backwards insertion word. Since the insertion algorithm is like 80 pages, I haven't looked for it, but that'll be a place to look for. The other question is, would there be plastic relations? That'd be pretty cool. And then I'm showing you what's been done, which is on the Nil-Coxeter and on the degenerate Hecke algebra. So I'm going to say, how do I word this? So theorem. Okay. So let ui, that is, and by ui I mean u1, 0, all the way to un minus 1, satisfy either the affine Nil-Coxeter relations or the affine degenerate Hecke relations. And they're the following. Ui squared equals 0, braid, but mod n. And by this I mean u0, un, u0 is un, u0, un. And faraway commutativity. Also mod n. And the degenerate Hecke relations are basically the same, but with ui squared equals ui. And then how do you define the non-commutative shape functions here? Well, you can't define the monomial, so you can't define the s lambda super k, but you can define the h case. And the h case are just the sum of ui1 up to uik, where I1, IK is cyclically decreasing, as defined in JSON stack. And this makes sense because in the type B, the HK is just a sum over hook words of this. And in type A, the HK is the sum over decreasing words. Okay? And then define the S lambda K of U by Pierre rule. So the theorem of Lamb says that if this happens, then this S lambda K of U are monomial positive. And they also commute. They would satisfy the Lilliput, well, I don't know about the Lilliput rule, but these do satisfy the Cauchy formula. Okay? And with this, you can get, I'm not going to elaborate much on this, but you can get sort of the three applications up to a certain point. So application one, if you look at some diagonal adding operators that add, so basically, on K course. So, do I act on K course or N course? By adding boxes on every step, on every box diagonal, that's I mod N. You can get the affine Schur expansion of the skew affine Schurs. Okay. Now, that would be a little Richardson rule, and I said that there's no little Richardson rule, and the reason is because, well, you can get this, but you don't know the monomial expansion of this. So if you can get the monomial expansion of this, you will be able to get this expansion. They're equally hard. Then there's application two, which says the UI act on the affine symmetric group just in the same way that you think it would, by making a word longer or killing it. And then you get, again, the expansion of the affine Stanley symmetric functions. And then application three, well, also modulo finding this monomial expansion. And the application three is the same thing, but with UI acting in the funny way, the idempotent way, and you get F, like the affine Schur expansion of affine stable growth index polynomial. And so yeah, there'll be some a lot of things to complete this picture. It'd be nice if you can see that closer to that. And I'm done. Thank you.